You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Greg Bedard Patriots Podcast with Nick Cavins.
We have a lot to talk about on this podcast today. He's Greg, I'm Nick. We're brought to you by Prize Picks, the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. Download the app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. And do us a favor, if you like the pod, then you want to support us, then go over to Prize Picks, sign up using that code CLNS, and it would help us tremendously. All right, Greg, let's get into some of the headlines here. Let's start with the guys that were signed. And how I want to do this is rapid fire if you'd like, or you can go in a little bit more in depth depending on the guy, right? But I'm just going to give you the name and you can give me your thoughts on each one. So let's start with Antonio Gibson. He was the first guy signed by the Patriots yesterday, or at least agreed to a contract with the Patriots. Your thoughts on Antonio Gibson?
Yeah, I like Gibson. I think that he is a he's a bigger back. He's like 6'2", but he used to be a wide receiver. He's very versatile, gives them a pass back. Now, he's not in the James White, Shane Vereen, you know, 5'9", 5'10", type of mold, but he gives them a real option instead of, like, you know, Ezekiel Elliott did fine, caught the ball fine, and Zeke's still out there, so you never know what might happen, and he did really well for the Patriots. But, you know, not Gibson's a little bit more of a matchup guy in the pass game at running back. Can spell Ramondre Stevenson when needed. So, you know, good, solid guy.
Yeah, third down back. Somebody that they needed, can certainly pick up yards after contact. If you look at the numbers, he's good in pass protection. He's also a vertical threat, which I think is an interesting element to this offense if you have him back there. So I liked it. I liked it. I think he could do some damage in the Alex Van Pelt offense. All right, then before we got the Gibson news, well before, you go back a few days ago, we still haven't talked about Chukwuma Okorafor. Your thoughts about Chucks?
Yeah, starting experience, a guy that will compete both at right tackle and right guard. You know, not a guy that who's a definite starter, and the contract that he got doesn't say definite starter, says he's on the team basically. But I view him very similar to maybe a little bit better than Calvin Anderson. Now, we never saw Calvin Anderson on the field last year, but you know, Anderson had, he started at some at left tackle in Denver and stuff like that. So Anderson could compete. Tyrone Wheatley Jr. is still here. I just think it's, they're upping the competition level, I think, you know, across the roster in this early going, and especially on the offensive line.
I just love the urgency of it, right? He was out there. He was available. He has started 59 games in his NFL career. You know that you're going to need depth, especially at offensive tackle. So if the guy's out there, you can get him, then get him. So I liked the urgency to that move. All right, Jacoby Brissett. We found out last night that Jacoby will be returning to New England. I don't think this was a big surprise to anyone since we've been talking about Jacoby for a while, but it's a one-year deal, $8 million, and I believe I read he can earn up to $12 million. So Jacoby Brissett, up or down on that one, Greg?
Yeah, I'm definitely up. Now, you know, is this does this make the Patriots a whole lot better? No, but he knows the system. He's been in the system with Alex Van Pelt. He's a great locker room guy. He can be very supportive of a rookie quarterback, as we expect the Patriots will get one, either a three or later in the draft, or a couple of rookies. I wouldn't be surprised about that. And he's been in a bunch of different situations, from, you know, Brady's suspension. He's been, you know, in Indianapolis. He was in Washington. Like, he was in Cleveland when dealing with the whole Deshaun Watson mess. Like, there isn't anything that Jacoby Brissett hasn't seen in the NFL and hasn't handled. Now, is he a top-line starter? No. But this is, they are rebuilding this, and they are going to build this slowly and methodically. And Jacoby checks a lot of boxes and, you know, can operate a system, their system, at a high level. And he could do the job at quarterback if he is needed to do.
I just don't know what people were expecting, right? I mean, if you're upset about the Jacoby Brissett signing, I don't think I can help you. Joe Flacco, 38, 39 years old, and it's not to say that Joe Flacco would not have been a good option. I've talked about it. You know, okay, if they got Flacco, I would have been fine with it ultimately. But I'm not telling you that, oh, man, they should have went out and got Flacco before they got Brissett. Brissett's 31. He's got history with Alex Van Pelt like Flacco does, but even more history. He's been here before in New England, and he truly gets it. He understands his role. He's a great leader in the locker room by all reports, really good guy. Are you going crazy about Gardner Minshew and paying him $15 million guaranteed like he got from the Raiders? Russell Wilson and the issues that he might have brought that we've talked about. So I sometimes people just like to bicker. All right, linebacker. Yep. Aside from being one of my favorite names of all time in professional sports, mm-hmm. every time I see this guy play, Kelly even knows it. She knows who this guy is just because I've screamed Taki Taki before for no reason watching a football game. Sione Taki Taki. He is in the mix, Greg. He was brought in with a 2-year deal. Your thoughts?
To me, first of all, good football player. Little undersized, fast, good in coverage. So all of that is the Patriots needed something in that realm. To me, Nick, really this is about, and it shows how organized these guys are, Elliot Wolf, Alonzo Highsmith, the rest of the front office. It basically seems like, and they should, this is the way most teams do it, they have a board with what they want, and they have a pecking order. And they wanted Mac Wilson back. Mac Wilson decided to go someplace else, and then boom, very quickly they went to the next name on their list. So to me, he's really sort of a Mac what did I call him the wrong name?
I think you called him Mac Wilson.
Yeah, so he's basically a replacement for Mac Wilson. He's not quite as dynamic on the edge as Mac Wilson, but he's a better linebacker, and he gives them another alternative to sort of the slower lead-footed Juwan Bentley and Jelani Tavai. And so he's a good piece for them and a really just good football player. I've always liked watching his film.
Yeah, give me the athlete on the second level, which he is. He's been productive, can set the edge a little bit as well, I was reading. So he can do a number of things. But again, that athleticism and coverage is something that's big. And it also allows you, Greg, to utilize Marte Mapu in really any way that you want. If you want Mapu back there in safety, now you can put Taki Taki there at linebacker, and you don't lose that athleticism. You can move Mapu up into the linebacker spot in the second level and keep that athleticism. So I thought it was a nice little signing. And let's not forget Elliot Wolf and Alonzo Highsmith. They were in that front office, so they are aware of Taki Taki mm-hmm. and what he brings to the table. They have a lot of work on that young man. All right, let's talk about some of the guys that are returning, Greg. Again, I'll just go one by one. Your quick thoughts. Kendrick Bourne is returning.
Love it. Great guy to have around. You know, I think the contract is reasonable and fair. He's a good guy to have in the mix.
Yeah, and the contract looks like it's only $8 million guaranteed, by the way. So
yeah,
it does look like the Patriots protected themselves. Makes a lot of sense coming back from the ACL. I love it. I wanted Bourne back here. I'm not telling you he's a number one wide receiver. He's, to me, more of a number three, and he might take a little while to get going this year because of the ACL, even though he says that he's ahead of schedule. All athletes say they're ahead of schedule, by the way. But you know, even as a wide receiver three, he's a good leader. He faced adversity back in 2022. He handled it like an adult when he came back here last year. And then he produced. He backed up the talk and he produced. And so he's somebody who wants to be here. If you want to be here and you could be productive, I'm all for it. And he also came from San Francisco. So he has some of that history in the Shanahan system, which is linked with the Kubiak system, et cetera, et cetera. I think he's a really good fit. Hunter Henry is also back, Greg.
Yeah, probably my favorite move that they've made so far. I'm sure people remember before I realized that the tag would have been $18 million on Hunter Henry. I was for all tagging Hunter Henry just because they have nothing at the position other than some guy named LaMarcus Petway, who I'm not even sure who that is or if he's real, but they needed somebody.
LaMichael, by the way, I think it's LaMichael. LaMichael. Let's not besmirch LaMichael.
Okay, but good solid guy, captain, starter level, and they got him at less than the previous contract that they gave him. Like, I'm good with this, and it helps. I expect tight ends, another one of these positions that they are going to be looked to be, get younger, get somebody in the draft, which we've been beating the drum about for a couple of years.
Yeah, Gerald Everett just agreed with Chicago, which kind of broke my heart. I was hoping he would be tight end two here, but he gone. I thought, when you look at the contract for Henry, Wolf seems to be nailing the value on a lot of these guys. And I don't mean value as in cheap. When you look at the Kyle Duggar stuff, right? The transition tag, 13.8. We don't think Duggar's going to get much more than 13. When you look at Owenu, who we'll talk about in a minute, and his contract that he got, Henry's another one. I mean, $15.8 million guaranteed to Henry over 2 years. 26 is a year that they can just get out of the contract. So you're paying him $15.8 million guaranteed. Kobe Parkinson, who has a career high of 25 catches, signed with the Rams
yesterday. Don't even know who that is.
Yeah, exactly. He caught 25 balls last year, apparently. Sean McVay signed him out there in L.A. with the Rams. He got $15.5 million guaranteed. So he only got, he got $300,000 less guaranteed than Hunter Henry. And Hunter Henry is a much more decorated tight end at the NFL level. So I thought it was a very, very good and valuable deal. By the way, this shouldn't be breaking news here for many people, but I will share it with you. Diana Russini has reported that Jimmy Garoppolo will be cut tomorrow. So I think all of us were expecting that, but seems like he's going to be gone by tomorrow. All right, somebody who's not going to be gone by tomorrow, Michael Owenu. He has returned, Greg.
Yeah, everybody knows how I feel about Michael Owenu. I think he's a good player. I think the deal is about like $19 million a year, which to me, I thought that's where his value was. That's why I wasn't too afraid of the franchise tag if they needed to do that. But they were able to find a way. And we talked about it with the Duggar tag that to me, it signaled that they felt that they were close with Owenu and that they just wanted to make sure they had Duggar. So I think they read that right. I think they had an understanding. They might have overpaid like a little bit, but I think overpaying one of your guys is important. I think retaining all these guys who are good locker room guys, I think that it's important to show the locker room what is going on. Now, as far as what position Owenu is going to play for them, and you might say, well, $19 million, that's got to be offensive tackle money. No, not necessarily. The guards are getting paid a ton of money in this market. And to me, whether it's a core four or whatever they do, if they sign somebody else, Tyron Smith, if they draft a tackle up high, you just get good football players and then you figure out your best five when you get down to it. And that might mean Owenu at right tackle and a core four at right guard and City So might have to sit or what have you. But you just add good football players, let Scott Peters and Robert Kugler, the assistant offensive line coach, let them dig into these guys, let them teach them, and then at the end of camp, figure out what your best five is and go forward.
I wasn't in love with the idea of $19, $20 million per if Owenu wasn't open to the idea of playing tackle, but it certainly sounds like he is open to the idea. I found it very telling that pretty much everybody that broke the signing yesterday framed it as versatile offensive lineman, offensive tackle / offensive guard. So I know Mark Daniels with Mass Live came out and said he spoke with Owenu in December, and Owenu went on record with him saying that he was going to train more specifically at tackle. So if he's open to the idea of playing tackle, if he's willing to play tackle, then I'm all for this. I'm all for it. I'm okay with it because, like Greg just said, he does bring the versatility. And if he's willing to play tackle and if it makes your offensive line stronger, then good. What I didn't want was an Owenu who ends up signing this deal and digs his heels in and says, no, I'm just a right guard, because you've put so much into the guard position over the past few years. I mean, first round pick in Cole Strange, the picks last year on the interior offensive line, and then you're signing him for $19 million a year when you have a lot of other needs. But as long as he's open playing tackle, as long as he's going to play ball with them, I'm fine with it. He's very good. He's their best offensive lineman. So get the big guy out there. And like you said, Greg, You know, keep your good players. I've got this before we move on to the next guy. I've got the slogan for the Patriots offseason this year. It's a very simple slogan. It is Patriots : just get better. That's it. Just get better. I'm not saying get eight games better. I'm not saying become a contender. Just improve the roster. Get better at the spots you need to get better at. So I'm all for it. All right, Jalen Reagor's returning.
One thing I just want to stick on the basically like the fit and the positioning on the offensive line just for a second. So what some people have to understand, like, first of all, given what we've seen so far of Michael Wenu, like, he's a good right tackle. He's a great guard. Okay, that's that much is clear. Now, if he trains more for right tackle, that might change. He might be better. I do think his best position is guard. I think Belichick thought that as well. Now, but they're moving to a new system. It's going to be more of the zone blocking scheme inside and outside, and really usually go with more athletic guards. Maybe he is more of a tackle fit in the new scheme. City So might is a better athlete, might be the better right guard. Mafi, I don't know if he fits in this scheme. We'll have to see. Jake Andrews, same way. He's pretty slow. But I think a lot of it is going to come down to what they end up running and how these guys fit as they sort of pare down like exactly where everybody's going to play.
One more quick thing about Owenu, too. I just want to highlight this. And it's more about Elliot Wolf than Owenu. I just find the way the Patriots are doing business right now is very respectful to the player. And they didn't franchise him, which might have ruffled some feathers. We have reports that Kyle Duggar's camp isn't too thrilled with the transition tag, which give me a break, Kyle. You can still go out there and talk to teams. So come on. But the respect by not franchising Owenu. And Greg, the market value, man, right? I mean, look, not everything has to be an indictment on Bill Belichick as we move forward in this offseason. But Elliot Wolf is identifying the good players on this football team. He knows what their value is, and he's not screwing around. He wasn't going to dick around Mike Owenu and say, no, no, we want you at 17, Mike. We want you at 16, Mike. He knows what these guys are getting out there in the market, and he understands what Owenu brings to the football team. $19 million per year, done. And by the way, $22 million signing bonus, which is more than what Mike would have made off the franchise tag, which I think is absolutely intentional. So it's respecting the player. It's paying them what they deserve. And that means something, Greg. You know that. The other guys in the locker room are looking at this. And Christian Barmore, for example, he says, if I continue to play my ass off and I continue to produce, now I believe these guys are going to pay me what I actually deserve to get paid.
Yeah, and it won't be a colonoscopy to get it out of them.
let's get to Jalen Reagor, who's coming back for a year, one-year deal.
Yeah, I like, you know, it's the type of thing that just throws him into the mix, and you don't know what's going to happen with free agency. You don't know what's going to happen with the draft. And so, you know, Reagor is a talented kid. He's fast. I was much more open to him returning when I recently rewatched the Jets season finale game. I should have gotten hazard pay for that, where he basically had the only two big plays that the Patriots had, and his speed was real, and it sort of made me think, okay, like, so throw him into the mix. All good for me.
Yeah, what I like about it the most is this puts Tyquan Thornton's feet to the fire. Like, if Thornton is still on this roster, he's got to do something this camp. And so Thornton can't look around and go, I'm the only guy that brings speed. No, you've got Reagor. And so I think it inherently puts a little bit of pressure on Tyquan to show up, and maybe he'll be motivated to get it going a little bit. All right, transition tag on Kyle Duggar. We talked about this a little bit, but just any more thoughts on that idea as we see the safety market come to life over the last couple of days? How do you feel?
No, I mean, Kyle can cry me a river if he doesn't like it, because if he look, just go out and perform. Like, either you get, I'm sure they're going to make him a long-term contract extension offer. It's probably going to be better than what a lot of people are getting on a ridiculously saturated safety market now. By the way, for the record, I do not, and people have brought this up to me, I do not see the Patriots rescinding the transition tag now that the market is set. Talk about sending the wrong message to your locker room, especially like after all, like the free agency money's gone, all of a sudden you rescind the tag. Man, talk about a bad look to your locker room. I do not see the Patriots doing that. They won't do that. I'm sure there will be a fair contract extension offer. And if Kyle doesn't like it, if he wants more, bet on yourself, play the year out. They probably won't tag you again because the 120% rule, and go out there and get your bag.
So I would just add this, put a little bit more, put a little bit more detail into this idea of what Duggar might be able to go out there and get paid. So if you look at the safety market right now, Geno Stone, $7.5 million a year, 2 years, $15 million. Kevin Byard went to Chicago, 2 years, $15 million, $7.5 million per year. Darnell Savage went to the Jags, 3 years, $21 million, $7 million. Do you sense a trend, everybody? The only guy who got some big time money was Xavier McKinney, who Greg has told you is, you know, the best guy out there. And he should have been paid. Like Jesse Bates got paid $16 million, I think it was last year on the AAV. It makes sense that McKinney gets $17 million per from Green Bay. So if you're Kyle Duggar, it's very Justin Simmons is still out there. There's a lot, you know, Gardner Johnson is still out there. It's very difficult to believe if you're Kyle Duggar that you're going to make much more than $11 or $12 million per year. And I think you would be
Xavier
happy.
McKinney's way better than Kyle Duggar is. And so like, you know, 13, 14 is about where Kyle should be, probably. Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into serious cash. Testing my skills on Prize Picks this season is the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $1,000 with just a few taps. This week on Prize Picks, I'm selecting Stephen Curry for more than 29 points, Caitlin Clark for more than 30 points. Yeah, you can cross streams, cross sports, all that stuff. LeBron James, more than 7 assists. Download the app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Make sure you use promo code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Let's jump to the departures now. Again, thoughts on each one, and we've got to start with the quarterback. Over the weekend, Mac Jones was dealt to the Jacksonville Jaguars for a sixth-round pick. Your reaction?
Expected. Very sad ending. It didn't need to be this way. Mac Jones is not that bad. Bill Belichick completely ruined him, just like he's done every single quarterback except Tom Brady that has started games for his team going back to Cleveland. He just doesn't understand the position and what you have to do in terms of supporting them with coaching and talent. And that's my big takeaway is, and I hope Mac is able to resuscitate his career and maybe get a chance to start someplace else at some point in time. We know that won't happen in Jacksonville, but I think the biggest takeaway is, and these guys know it in the building. I could tell you that they understand that the next time they get a quarterback, and they will be doing that very shortly in April, they will do everything they can to support that quarterback so he can be the best quarterback for this team and lift this team up. They will not leave him on an island. They will not let him feel neglected. They will not skimp on the coaching. And that's my wish for the Patriots.
We all knew it was going to happen. And we saw the tweet from Ian Rappaport on Friday. And I looked at Kelly. We were out. And I said, oh, the for sale sign has officially been put out on the front lawn, Mac Jones. That screamed to me, hey, we're taking final calls. We're going to take final bids on Mac because we're about to move on. And that's precisely what happened on Sunday. And all I'll say is I've said enough about Mac and Belichick and all that. So I will again highlight the respect factor. How you handle guys matters. And Burt Breer has said he's reported that the Patriots, right after the combine, talked to Mac. Told him of their intention. We're going to move on from you. We're going to look to move you somewhere. And it was agreed upon by both sides. And people might overlook that stuff, but that's the kind of stuff that matters. When we listen to Gerard Mayo and Elliott talk about not being as hard-ass anymore and trying to make a connection with the players and respecting the players, something as simple as that. Remember, Mac Jones was told he wasn't told he was going to be inactive the final week of the season, okay? And, and whether you like him, love him, or hate him, that's just ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous, and it's petty. So to go to him after the combine and say, Mac, we're going to move on from you. We're going to make some calls. We think it's best for us. It's best for you to move forward, you know, different directions. It just speaks to the respect factor and how you do business. All right, Devontae Parker, he has been cut. He will not be back.
See ya. Please tell us Juju's next.
I just can't help to go back to the idea of, you know, deciding.
Sign him to a freaking extension, Nick.
Yeah, sign him to an extension after not signing DeAndre Hopkins. We do have some news here quickly.
Or Jacoby.
Former Patriots going to get an extension. Kenny Moore signs a 3-year, $30 million deal with the Indianapolis Colts to stay in Indy. So he was seen by many as the top slot corner. The cornerback market, interestingly, Greg, has gone a little bit slow here. Not a lot going on. And I think that, as we've talked about, is a weakness as far as depth goes with this roster. So you wonder if the Patriots will be able to scoop somebody up on a relatively low price. But Kenny Moore goes to stays with the Colts, 3 years, $30 million on that deal. All right, Mac Wilson, he's also gone.
Yeah, I mean, good player, certainly improved while he was here. I think that for a while he's wanted to go elsewhere. He got an offer to go elsewhere, so he left, and the Patriots pounced on a replacement with Taki Taki, so I'm good.
Taki Taki. All right, see you later, Gesicki. Nice having you. You made me look like an idiot saying that you could be the X factor on the offense. Schmuck. Schmuck cattles here. All right, still out there. Let's run down the list. You tell me yes or no if you want them back. I'm gonna predict the first one is a big no. But Trent Brown.
Niet.
Jalen Mills.
I could be talked into it, but probably not.
Zeke.
Love him. Did a good job, but we're moving on with Gibson and probably a draft pick or undrafted free agent. Alonzo Highsmith's good at that.
Miles Bryant.
Yes. Versatile. I know people love to hate him, but he's a good football player and helps you in a bunch of different spots. So and he fits here for sure.
Cody Davis.
No.
Hey, how about Chris Board? See ya.
Yeah, I forgot about that departure.
That almost, you know, the simple things, when certain things bug you for a long time, the simplest solution can make you so happy. When I saw Chris Board was getting released, and look, you know, he lost his job, but he made good money to not do much on this football team last year. And if we can move away from the six or seven guys on the roster that can only do kickoff coverage, please, can we
move on? Nick, on that, did you see the Ron Wolf quote that I found?
Yes.
My column this weekend? I found it. So this is Ron Wolf, father of Elliot Wolf. And he said, they've got 69 guys now on a roster that you can pull from to put in a game. And they can't have three quarterbacks? Are you kidding me? For some guy that runs down on punt coverage four or five times versus protecting yourself at that position, I don't understand that. Josh Uche is breaking news.
Oh, hold on. Now, how can you do this to me? Because I've been sitting here on Twitter for the entire podcast trying to make sure that we're staying on track with the news. And now we can tell you the news. Josh Uche, back to the Patriots, Greg.
Just before we got to his name, it was like perfect timing. We're just about to talk about
it. He was literally next on the list.
I'm pretty surprised about this. I thought he was going to have value elsewhere. I thought that teams would really look at him as sort of an impact pass rusher, get him in more of a 4-3 and play all the time. But evidently he didn't find that. And evidently, I would say this would be another indication that they are going to be more aggressive up front, not worry about too much about the two gapping and all that stuff. They're going to maybe let some guys just play. But even if that's not the case, he's a very good, I would say, excellent situational pass rusher. I think he's up there in the league, and so that they're able to bring him back, I think is a great move.
Rappaport says it's a one-year deal. So obviously this is one of those situations where, hey, Josh, come on in. We know what you can do well. Boost up your market. You were banged up last year. You didn't play a ton. So let's get you involved and see if you can produce for us. And if you can, then you have a chance to go right back out there and try to get a multi-year secure kind of contract. Rappaport also says that Uche wanted to return more than anything else. And that's why the deal got done, because he wanted to return. Now, whether or not that is, you know, trying to put some sugar on it, I don't know. But that's what Rappaport is saying. And I will say this. Look, I was very critical of the Patriots not moving Uche at the trade deadline last year, because I didn't think he was going to come back. And the whole idea was get something for him instead of nothing for him. But now he's back. Would that have been the case with Belichick? I don't know. I don't know how many of these guys would have returned if Belichick had stayed. So that's the big question. Is Uche coming back because it's Mayo and Covington? And he might have said, you know what? I appreciate you, Bill, but I'm going to get a one-year deal somewhere else if Bill was still here. So, you know, that's the great unknown about it. But at least you can look at it and say they didn't lose Uche for nothing. They keep the player. He's back. They need edge depth. So makes sense to me. Speaking of
it's only a one-year deal. That's curious. Yep. I mean, but to me, and I'm sure, I think I already saw Garofalo say, oh, he turned down much more money elsewhere to come back to the Patriots. I don't really believe that. I mean, when you got a if it's a one-year deal, that's saying he didn't find the bag that he was expecting, and I'd rather stay where I know what's going on. I know the coaches. Gerard Mayo's the head coach now. I know I'm going to get my sacks. I'm going to get my chances, maybe increase my role a little bit and increase my value, and then we'll try it again next year.
I'll look on the positive side of things, and if he did even have a little bit more money on the table, good. It means he really wants to be here. Jonathan Jones does jump in from CBS, and he says that Uche drew strong interest from at least two other teams, but he placed a priority on staying in New England. So it is a common theme with the insiders that are reporting on this, that Uche wanted to stay in New England. He had interest elsewhere, but it was a priority for him. So if that's the case, great. Hunter Henry wanted to stay here. You know, Kendrick Bourne wanted to stay here. Uche wants to stay here. They're all good football players. Keep the guys that want to stay. Michael Wenu wanted to stay here as long as he was paid at his level, but he wanted to be here. Keep the good football. There's nothing wrong with keeping good football players, people. And I know people going to get the smart-ass stuff with the, oh, another Belichick guy coming back, another Belichick draft pick. Yeah, okay, great. Who cares? Good football player. Speaking of edge depth, Anthony Jennings, any shot he comes back now that Uche's back?
That'll be interesting to see. A really good player, really good edge setter, not much of a pass rusher. But, yeah, I could see that happening. But if he leaves, it's not a huge loss.
Farrow Brown.
I would hope he'd be number two. Maybe they're looking for a little bit more. I know, you know, Harrison Bryant is – a guy that was in the Cleveland system who's out there a little bit more undersized, a little bit more of an athlete. I think Farrell Brown would be a fine number two here. And also, hopefully there's a draft pick involved in the tight end room.
Yeah, give me a fifth or sixth round developmental guy. Yeah, I think like the fifth round's perfect. I mean, you got 2 sixths now, so maybe you move back into the fifth with those 2 sixths and draft a tight end. Last guy, Terrez Hall.
Yeah, I mean it is what it is. Hopefully there's a draft linebacker or undrafted free agent at linebacker that sort of hits and is like the fourth or fifth guy there. I mean, Terrez Hall is fine.
All right. So here is the thing when you're recording a podcast like Greg and I are doing right now. Anything can happen. We can stop recording in literally 5 minutes after we're done. We can get news that blows up the next 5 minutes. So keep that in mind, people. Okay. Well, be kind to us. Simple question for you, Greg. Calvin Ridley, what the hell's going on here?
So the Patriots have an offer out to him. They're waiting to hear. And Calvin Ridley apparently really wants to remain with the Jaguars. I'm sure he's hoping that the Jaguars will match the offer and you know, make the decision easy on him. I just don't know whether they can do that cap wise. They don't have very much, but perhaps they start, you know, redoing contracts. Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll just have to see. I mean, you know, I guess the Patriots aren't blowing him out of the water. If they did, he would have already signed. I think the Patriots are being disciplined with all these, and I don't think that's a bad word. Why, you know, part of your job is to assess value and to get proper value. And one thing that people have to keep in mind, and I didn't really understand this, you know, Calvin Ridley is going to be 30 this season. 30. It seems like he's been in the league for like 2 years. Of course, he was suspended for one season. I think, you know, 30-year-old wide receiver, to me, it's probably more like a 2-year deal that the Patriots are offering. Maybe he wants to push for a third. Maybe he wants more money, but certainly would be a good signing. I think he would help the Patriots, but I don't think he's the only wide receiver option out there. And so I'm not overpaying for Calvin Ridley, because I just because he's the top guy doesn't mean he should be paid as the top guy. It's like sort of like Christian Kirk got a bag from the Jaguars. I'm not being the Jaguars in that scenario.
I want Ridley. Here's what I think's going on. This is a multi-level thing. Number one, Gabe Davis and Darnell Mooney both signed the same exact contract as far as AAV. Both of those wide receivers got 3 years, $39 million. You look at Michael Pittman, he's making like $23, $24 million. My thought and my educated guess here is that Ridley wants to be closer to Pittman than to Davis and Mooney. And the Patriots are likely, you know, Ridley's looking at this saying, give me $20 million a year, for example. And the Patriots are probably sitting at like 17, 18 and saying, look, man, you know, you're still making a hell of a lot more than these middle tier wide receivers. We respect and appreciate what you can do, but we're not going to pay you. You know, they're thinking we're not going to pay this guy Michael Pittman money when Pittman's like 25. As far as the age, he'll be 30 in December. So most of the year will be finished. And I also think, again, he sat out for almost, you know, like a year and a half. So he's got younger legs than 29. So I'm not as freaked out about the age as some are. I get why people are concerned. A couple of other things, Greg, I wanted to ask you about. So the Jaguars, they signed Duvernay, they signed Gabe Davis, and they have Christian Kirk. Is this simply a game that's being played? Is this Calvin Ridley knowing that the Patriots have the highest offer out there on the table, and he knows it's tough for the Jaguars to make that move because of the guys that they already have at that position and the money they're paying? And so he's just trying to literally take any penny that he can get extra from the Patriots here.
That, and I think they're playing a game where they're trying to get somebody else to jump in, that somebody might be sitting on the sidelines. And I think there's a lot of that going on. I think I also saw a report related to Ridley where it was like, that there appears to be a mystery team lurking.
Yes.
I love the mystery team is always undefeated and always lurking to not get the player, because the agent's just trying to get somebody to up that offer. Yeah, I think I would be surprised if the Jaguars can make anything work. And I think he's just trying to get every cent he can out of the Patriots.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
The other part, the final part to this, is that there's some compensation that's involved here. And so if Ridley doesn't sign by Wednesday at 4:01, if he remains unsigned, then the Jaguars have to send a third-round pick to Atlanta for that trade. If he signs before then I believe, and what many people out there believe, by reading the terms of the trade, Jacksonville would have to send out a second-round pick. So the other theory here is that Ridley and Jacksonville are well aware of this compensation thing. And Ridley especially is aware of the compensation thing. He really does want to return to Jacksonville. He's just trying to get Jacksonville to up the price, up the ante, so to speak. And inevitably tomorrow at like 4:03, there will be a story about Calvin Ridley returning to the Jacksonville Jaguars, and they only trade the third round pick instead of the second.
So, you're totally right that this compensation thing is out there, and it's true. My thing is like, can't they just, and by the way, Devontae Parker,
I know, I just
is
saw
going
this.
To the Eagles, Reese agreement on a 1 year, $4.69 million fully guaranteed deal, of which Philly has to only pay $1.2 million because of the Patriots offset. Interesting. But as far as Ridley, like, can't they just, and this is the way most of these contracts, like, none of these are signed right now. They're all agreeing to, and then they sign once the new league year comes. Is the compensation still a factor if they just say that, like, we've verbally agreed to a new contract that he signs in the new year? Or does that void it? Does that constitute they reached? Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. But
it's weird.
It feels to me as if, again, one of two things is happening here. Ridley is just trying to get more money from the Patriots because he knows that they have the best offer on the table and the games are being played. Or he does just want to go back to Jacksonville, and he's trying to get more money from Jacksonville on top of whatever the offer is from them on the table. Because you know this, Greg, and I don't know how deep you want to get into it because it's a reporting thing, but I do think it's worthwhile to take a minute here. There are games that are played by agents and teams, and it's up to the reporter to kind of sift through what they want to share and not share. And it's a kind of tit-for-tat game. It's you know, quid pro quo in some cases. Hey, if you send this out there, then I'll help you the next time with this story, right? That's kind of how these things work. So I agree with you. I saw it was Jonathan Jones who had the dark horse. There could be a dark horse. not that there is. So not that there's a mystery team. There could be a mystery team at some point, any point. And the Schefter stuff was very interesting too, when Schefter tweeted that, you know, Ridley wants to return currently. Currently, he would like to return to Jacksonville. It's like, wait a minute. So 5 minutes from now, all of a sudden, he doesn't want to return to, like, he's currently leaning. That to me says, yeah, I want even more money from you, New England. So,
we'll I mean, just one thing on that real quick, like, you know, and especially when I was younger coming up in the business, like, I had to rely a lot on agents, and the game's changed a lot because there wasn't as much. You know, most of these agents just go through the national guys now. That didn't used to be the case. They used to take care of the local guys because the national stuff wasn't that big of a deal. And look, I readily admit I got used by agents in the past. Everybody has. And you know, one of the tricks that they like to play is, you know, as a young reporter, when you're a beat reporter, and I don't do that anymore. I'm more of a columnist analyst, so I don't do like calling agents like I used to. So you'd call up and you'd be like, hey, have the Patriots shown any interest in X? And, you know, I used to be able to have relationships with guys that go back a while that really be like, no, I haven't heard from them. But nowadays, I mean, what's the downside of saying, there's no downside to saying yes. So most of them are like, oh yeah, sure. The team with the most cap space in the league. Absolutely. They're showing an interest in my guy. And, you know, hopefully that helps their guy. So a lot of that stuff goes on. It's a bunch of nonsense.
We'll see how it all unfolds. It is just, something happened, please. So either poop or get off the pot, Calvin. What are we doing?
Yeah.
All right, if it's not Ridley, let's run through these receivers. You just tell me yes or no if you're interested. Other unrestricted free agents. Marquise Hollywood Brown.
Yeah, I'd be open to that. He's a speed threat. He is an outside guy, and they could use that, and you know, a pretty good weapon. But he's not going to be – I don't think he would be a number one, but certainly would bring something different to the room.
Tyler Boyd.
Not really. I mean, look, he's a good receiver. I like him. He's a big slot. I don't really think they need this in this offense. So I would be a no, but good player.
I'd be interested in him just because I wonder how much, you know, you got Jamar Chase and Higgins there. How much has that really, you got two, you know, bona fide outside guys. How much has that impacted his game? Could you get more out of him if you didn't have those two guys above him on the depth chart? Curtis Samuel.
Yeah, similar guy to Marquise Brown. Outside guy, deep threat weapon, something that they need, and hopefully just a placeholder until rookie wide receiver du jours are ready to be dominators.
By the way, just to circle back on the Parker stuff, Miguel Benson, the man, the myth, the legend when it comes to cap stuff, he quote tweeted Schefter's tweet and said, "This does not seem right to me. If Parker is getting $4.69 million from the Eagles this year, then the Patriots should receive a $3.19 million credit on their 2025 cap." So just something to keep in mind. If that is how Schefter reported it, if that's how it's going to work, then Miguel is saying that the Patriots will pick up $3 to $4 million on next year's cap. So that would be good. All right, trades. You making a trade for T. Higgins?
Nope. Too much. You have to give up too much and pay him too much. That's not the way. Look, would I consider doing it? Yes. Bert's reporting Josh Uche is just getting $3 million with incentives that can take up to $8 million. Wow. He couldn't get more than that out there? Don't tell me he had better offers out there and he's coming back for 1 year, $3 million. Give me a freaking break. That's not happening. Look, would I do the T. Higgins thing? Yes. Possibly if I was GM. But and we're going to talk about this more either today or next pod or whatever. But this is not the Ron Wolf way. To go out and give up the bag for a wide receiver and a draft pick. So, no, I can't see them doing that.
I'm not doing it. It's too much. You're not in the right situation right now. You compare it to Tyreek Hill in that trade that Miami made. Miami had Jalen Waddle. Miami had Tua Tagovailoa. Miami made investments on the defense, and brought talent in on that side of the football. They had Mike McDaniel, the fancy pants offensive play caller head coach. They gave up 5 picks for Tyreek Hill and had to pay him a boatload of money. I'm not telling you that Higgins is going to cost you 5 draft picks, but he's going to cost you draft capital. I don't think you're getting Higgins for just the 34th pick. I don't think that would happen. I think it would have to be the 34th and something else. I'm not giving up that much and paying the guy. Mm-hmm. And by the way, at 34.
I'd rather draft my own T. Higgins.
Thank you.
Go find your own. There's plenty of wide receivers in this draft.
You just finished my sentence. At 34, you might get a guy, as good as T in a year or two if you do it right. So, yeah, give me a break. Mike Williams.
Somewhat open to it. Like, he's hurt a lot. There's no question he's a big receiver. Impact. Why can't I think of the quarterback's name? Justin Herbert was always better when Mike Williams was on the field. He's a friend to a quarterback, so I like the idea of it. I don't love that he's got $17 million per year, 2 years left on his contract. If he's willing to change that a little bit, take a little bit of a haircut, redo his deal, I don't think it would be that hard, that much compensation to get him. So I would consider that, and I might as well just get into it. My preference, Nick, is Courtland Sutton of the Broncos. I think Courtland Sutton is a baller. He's big. He's fast. He's physical. He has 2 years left on his deal at, I think, about $13.5 million. It depends on the trade compensation. But especially if I can do it for a future pick, maybe a future 3 or something like that, or future 4 or 5, whatever it is, I would definitely be open to that if I can't get Calvin Ridley.
Yeah, great job by the Broncos, by the way. You holding out for a first round pick last year for Jerry Jeudy, and you end up getting 5th and a 6th.
Yeah.
Good job, fellas. Good work over there in Denver. You might be partaking in a little bit of too much of the puff out there in Denver, Colorado. So not a great idea for you guys. Courtland Sutton, I'm out on Mike Williams. He'll be 30 in October. He's had a ton of injuries. I'm out. Other questions. I've got two for you before we get to those questions. Episode brought to you by Prize Picks, largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. Download the app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. And also don't forget $50 for the year. If you want to check these guys out at Boston Sports Journal, Mike Giardi, Bedard, Corrales, writing about the Celtics who are just dominating this season. So check it out. BSJ, $50 on the year. We'll leave the Ron Wolf conversation to a later date. But let's talk about Jacoby Brissett. Some people saw that signing last night or that agreement last night, and they said, well, Patriots definitely taking a quarterback at number 3. Do you agree with those people?
I don't agree with that. And let me just tell you, from what I understand from talking to people in the building, they have not reached a consensus on the quarterbacks. They're certainly open to it. Would I say today that it's more probable than not that the Patriots draft a quarterback at 3? Yeah, probably. Are they going to, do I think it's highly certain that they're going to get a quarterback somewhere between 3 and 34? As somewhere in there? Yes, probably. But them taking a quarterback at number 3, I don't think is definite. From where I understood, what I understand right now is they are very early in the process. The coaches are just starting to get in the process. The pro days have just started. You're going to have the top 30 visits, which are very important. The individual Zooms, the team can have up to 3 with each draft prospect, are going to be vital. And I think they will make a decision very close to the draft. And then I think they are open to trading down and then, you know, doing what's in the best interest. So is it likely that they take a quarterback at 3? Yes, but I don't think you could say that's anywhere close.
Last one for you. Some people say the Patriots are being cheap. Are the Patriots being cheap?
I just don't see it that way. You know, we'll talk about this more in depth, but I wrote a column the morning of free agency where I did a deep dive into the Packers past, specifically Ron Wolf, Ted Thompson, a little bit of Brian Gutekunst. And you just have to understand that these guys and almost all of their rebuilds started the same way, mind you. Okay. They all started. Ted Thompson and Ron Wolf both had 4-win seasons their first year as GMs. You know, maybe 4-13 was Wolf sort of, you could say, maybe had a big imprint. Maybe that was his 4-win season. Gutekunst was 6-9. All three of them, and now Wolf is the fourth, all four of them either let go of coaches, started working with new coaches. And what you have to understand is, they are going to be methodical about this. They are going to be disciplined about and doing exactly what Elliott Wolf said he was going to do. We're going to re-sign our good players, our core players. That's what they're doing right now. They are going to be reliant on the draft. He talked about that. That's what they are going to do. These teams are going to be homegrown. It might make you, it might help you in the short term, you know, free agency trades, all that stuff. That's not what they're about. This team in 3 years is going to be almost exclusively homegrown. I think back to that 2007 Packers team. Remember, 2005 was Mike Sherman's last season. He got fired. Mike McCarthy came in 2006. They took a step back. In 2007, they went from nobody thought they were going to do anything to all of a sudden they're like 13-3 in the NFC Championship game. Ron Wolf, same sort of thing. So there is a way that they believe in building teams, and they are going to do that. And they are going to re-sign people. I expect Christian Barmore to get a humongous contract probably after free agency is over, sometime before this season. And so, no, they're not being cheap. They just have a vision for how this team looks, and it starts with being homegrown, rewarding your own guys, drafting well, developing, and that's the plan that they are going to do. It's not being cheap. It's being smart and being prudent.
It's so weird how the human brain works. And people sit there and say, oh, they're being cheap. They're being cheap. Hunter Henry, that contract is not cheap. That contract is a fair contract in the NFL for that position. Kyle Duggar, $13.8 million on the transition tag due to the safety market, is not cheap. And Mike Onwenu is certainly getting $38 million guaranteed, 22.5 signing bonus, and making $19 million average annual value. That is at the top of the market. So even though they are your own players, it doesn't mean that it's cheap. Money is money. I don't understand. Don't understand. It drives me crazy. Oh, but if you went out and signed an offensive tackle for $18 million and Onwenu walked, people would have been like, well, they're not cheap. No, what's it matter? It's $19 million a year for an offensive lineman. Anyway.
Right. And Nick, let's also remember, like, and I think you said this on Twitter, because you're certainly active on the Twitter machine.
I know. I'm too active. I get all excited during this time of year.
I know. But look, there are still a lot of good players out there that can help the Patriots, and they might wind up with some, you know, whether that's Jonah Williams or Tyron Smith at left tackle or Justin Simmons at safety, or, you know, there's cornerbacks on the market, or, you know, like we said, Calvin Ridley, Courtin Sutton can be had. Like, you know, just relax. These guys know what they're doing. They have a plan. They have a vision. They're basically going down their board, and they will make this team better. Trust me, this team, and depending on, we don't know anything about Jerod Mayo as a head coach. This team is going to be better this year. I think that I think this is going to, the Packer way, Ron, it's really the Ron Wolf way, is 3-for-3 in terms of short rebuilds, 4 wins, 8 wins, contention. I expect this team to be at least threaten the 500 mark. They'll get better in the draft. They have a core that they're going to keep together, and that's what you do. And so I expect them to contend for the postseason the year after. But there's no point in wasting things and bringing people into the building that you're really not sure about the fit to screw up that long-term vision.
He's Greg. I'm Nick. We will be back later in the week with hopefully some big-time news for you regarding the Patriots. Until then, be well and be safe.